And the Goat House is back after a crazy week 17. Well, it's not quite finished yet. Actually, Washington and Philadelphia is going on right now. Obviously, everyone knows if Washington wins this game, then they are in. But we are turning this into a podcast and trying to get this up as a video. And this will be our recap video. A lot of videos to get to on the channel during this first playoff week. So excited for that. Hopefully you can join us for that. Follow our Twitter at Goat House NFL. And yeah, you'll be kept up to date there. And there'll be constant NFL updates during games. So, and some off-season talk as well. So check it out. Check out that Sided app. Everything, if you're watching on YouTube, is in the link. There's a link in the description and comments for anything that you need there. But yeah, this is different too because it's kind of a recap and a podcast, and I got Junior and Dan with me, so we can go through some. First, we'll go through some of these games that happened here earlier on Sunday. Then we'll talk about who's in, who's out of the playoffs, and we'll talk about the matchups for this week. But the first game was Dolphins and the Bills, and I actually switched my pick. I think some of the other guys did as well. Switched my pick to the Dolphins because the Bills had a bunch of players out, a lot of guys resting on defense, mainly a lot of their top defensive players. And it was kind of known that Matt Barkley was going to get a significant amount of reps, so I switched to the Dolphins in a must-win game, and they kind of pooped the bed a little bit there in a must-win game. I don't know. Hey, who else switched their pick? I don't think Junior.
I switched my pick. Not a good game for Tua.
Let the record show I did not switch my pick.
The record shows that you did not switch your pick. The record also shows, yes, not a good game from Tua, not a good game from the Dolphins receivers either. They were dropping balls left and right. Devontae Parker fell down on an interception, but Tua did still really no excuses for him. Did not play the best game. But I'm not really worried about, you know, situations like that where a rookie quarterback has a little sloppy of a game, you know. But what I'm worried about is the lack of trust the Dolphins have in Tua. And it's like one thing if they're not playing for anything, you know, they're not making the playoffs or something like that, kind of just taking it easy, don't want to put them in bad situations. But they're winning in situation. They're obviously trying to win. And there's just no trust. And we don't really know the exact reason on why there's no trust. Only the Dolphins know it based off practice or what they saw in games. But there is a reason. At the end of the day, there is a reason. So that is a little bit of the concerning part. Now, I see a lot of people saying draft a quarterback at 3, 2 is a bust. That's a little extreme there, to say the least. So I'm definitely nowhere near that level. But we're lying if we sit here and say it's not a little concerning. Are you guys agree with that? Or
I'm just kind of weirded out. Like you said, there's a reason. We just nobody knows. Yeah. And it's so strange. It's so strange.
Never thought that, I guess you can't say outperforming, but never thought that Jalen Hurts was, you know, in a sense, doing better than Tua at this time. But,
yeah.
Tough matchups for Tua today.
Yeah, it's a good look for the Bills. It's a good look for the Bills. It's a good look for that coaching staff, Brian Daboll, who's going to get possibly a head coaching job unless he wants to stay put in Buffalo. There's some rumors that he could. He just likes it there in Buffalo. But, yeah, good look from him because next guy comes in, a bunch of backups come in, they're still able to light up a good defense. So really wasn't all on Tua. The defense really couldn't do much for the Dolphins either. So just in general, a good look for a Bills team. It's a hot football team, the hottest in football. And it's just a team. You kind of get that team feeling from them. And a lot of energy, a lot of focus going into the playoffs. So they are in. They're going to play the Colts. We'll talk about all the matchups and the seedings once we get through these games. But, yeah, we'll move on to the next one. Won't spend a lot of time on this one. Ravens beat the Bengals 38-3. The Ravens needed to win to get in, and it was not only were they the better team, but we talked about it's a really good matchup. And, yeah, that happened there. Just not a good match for the Bengals. The Ravens are – talk about the Bills being the hottest team in football. The Ravens are definitely up there with them. Seems like they're back. I think we kind of called that happening a few weeks ago before the Cowboys game. They're ripping right now. I don't think we have too many takeaways from this game. It's kind of when it is expected, and some maybe for the Ravens. But, yeah, it's good to see them in the playoffs. You know, for a little bit I was worried that even when they were streaking still I was a little worried that they were going to still miss the playoffs, and I'm not a Ravens fan, but I don't like that. I want to see the right teams in the. I want to see the good teams in the playoffs, you know. So that was my thinking. I don't know if anybody has any takeaways on the Ravens right now.
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm just the Ravens are just a weird team. It's such a weird team. They're one of the. They fall into that category for me that It just really depends on who shows up. It's like they go week to week on looking unreal than looking god awful.
Tell you what, if you run for 400 yards every game, you're doing something right. So
you're set.
They dominated. Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything if you don't like win game. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm so happy the Titans won today. If you rush for that much yards and then blow the game, it just kind of takes away from that.
We'll get to the Titans, buddy. I don't like that defense. If you're watching on YouTube right now, the video, if you see me looking over, I'm currently watching the Washington versus Eagles game at the same time. They're showing Alex Smith. He's got a big brace underneath his sock on his leg, so that's a little scary, but it's a good thing it's there. But we're moving on to the next game. They're moving, by the way, Washington. They stopped the Eagles, but moving on to the next game, Steelers-Browns. I thought the Browns were going to crank a Brown on this one. I don't know. I thought they were going to do it. 24-22, the Browns win. They needed to win this game to get in, and they did that. The Steelers, it was a good thing the Steelers ended up sitting their starters. I think that was a good thing. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Browns, you know, it looked like they were comfortable at first, like they are winning, not by a whole lot, but it felt like they were going to hang on. It's going to be okay. The Steelers started pushing back, and if you watch the end of this game, it was pretty wild. That's kind of the main focus I wanted to focus on this game is, the ending, because the Browns got stopped. They went for it on 4th and 7 instead of pointing the ball away. Yeah, that was rough. They didn't want to kick a field goal to give the Steelers a good field position, but it's 4th and 7. Just punt the ball, try to pin them. If you get a touchback, they get a touchback. You're going to make Mason Rudolph drive the field. You know, so I didn't understand that call, decision by Stefanski. Steelers go down and score. And they did it pretty easily, too. All of a sudden, Mason Rudolph was getting things going, so that was interesting. And then they failed the two-point conversion. Mason Rudolph didn't really give Claypool much of a shot on that one. They kick an onside kick. The Browns guy kind of loses it a little bit, and Steelers were very, very close to getting the ball. But the Browns still need to get the first down. Baker runs for it, and now the Browns are in the playoffs for the first time in, what was it, 18 years? I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. But, yeah, I know I'm talking a lot. I'll give you guys a shot in a second. But, Stefanski, I don't know. He didn't really – the last two games, he hasn't really called the best games. He hasn't – you know, he's kind of backwards a little bit. And I'm almost hoping at this point that it's because he didn't really want to show too much for the playoffs. On top of that, we talked about during the week they were likely going to play the Steelers again. So that would make a little sense. Let's hope that that's it, because the play-calling decision on 4th and 7, not good for Stefanski. That's unlike him the rest of the year. And then kind of going in what I said, the Steelers were probably playing the Browns again most likely, and that's why it was good that the Steelers sat their starters. They weren't going to get the 2 seed anyways because the Bills ended up dominating the Dolphins. I guess they couldn't have predicted that. But so they didn't really show much for playing the Browns next week, so that's a good thing. So it's kind of a win in a way. For the Steelers, your guys' thoughts. Go ahead.
Yeah, take it away.
I was beginning over for the Browns, and it was going to come down to Cody Parkey field goal there for a minute. So if they got if they got that 2-point conversion at the end, and Browns have to go for anything from a 30-yard field goal on, I would be pretty nervous that Cody Parkey would be taking it, but. In a sense, why the hell is he still on the roster? Like, I don't understand.
There's really nothing else out there, even though this week some guys were getting – the Niners had a guy and the Titans had a guy that they picked up that I never heard of, and they were kicking pretty well, I guess. So, I think teams make the mistake of, let's just go get this name that I've heard of before instead of just trying somebody new at the kicker position at least. It doesn't apply to every position. But for the kicker position, it's just like everyone that's like failing with or have kickers that fail or they're not doing well at the kicker position, feels like they're just playing musical kickers. They're just like, here, you take this shit kicker. We'll take your shit kicker. Obviously not a trade, but just give the new guys a shot. That's like – but yeah, it's like I said, a couple guys that's never kicked before in the NFL, real games kicked today. I thought they were all right.
Yeah, it's so weird that like no teams like take chances on just like go get somebody who plays soccer. Like, why has nobody ever done that? That's what I don't know. There's definitely plenty of just like soccer players that would at least give it a shot.
I think the good ones probably rather play soccer.
But at the same time, field goals are very difficult as well. field goals are, I mean, I'm not here to say that field goals are easy and they should be expected, but they're difficult. You can't just expect some soccer player. Yeah, maybe if he had an off
Wait.
season to work on it, he might not be still as good as the best in the league.
Yeah, and they did make the few years ago, more than a few, they made the goalposts more narrow. I didn't think much of that right away, but then when I went to the Bears game with Dan, you got season tickets right behind the goalpost, and the first time I went since they did that, I was like, geez, these are pretty narrow. These are more narrow than I thought. So it's definitely not easy, but yeah, the kickers that consistently miss and are missing extra points like crazy right now, yeah, then we got to move on from those guys. So.
Agree.
Yeah. So the Browns will be in the playoffs again. We'll talk about the matchup soon. The Steelers, I think that's a win for them, really. I know they could have won the game. It could have been a little better for their momentum, but they'll play each other again, Steelers-Browns. We'll talk about that soon, like I said. The Vikings, the Lions scored 35 points and lost, 37-35. Just a battle of no defenses in that game. No implications on this one, so won't talk too much. But yeah, I think the takeaway from this one is Justin Jefferson beating Randy Moss's Vikings rookie record, then not long after going on beating Anquan Boldin's single season record. So Justin Jefferson, you can debate, is what had the best rookie receiver season in NFL history. So that was pretty impressive. Justin Herbert, we'll talk about him in a little bit, did have a pretty good game as well. So the two Justins in a battle for the rookie of the year. Yeah, just kind of a back and forth game. No defense, like I said. Vikings missing a lot of guys. The Lions kind of had a Patricia built defense out there. So legitimate excuses for both teams. Marvin Jones continues to dominate the Vikings. It seems like a every time thing. And I think Kirk Cousins had a monster game. I was giving credit to Kirk on Twitter. I've been very impressed with him. And Terry McLaurin just scored for the Washington football team. 6-0. They're about to kick the extra point. But Kirk Cousins' second half of the year was just fantastic. He had, at one point, he had 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He ends the year with 35 and 13. So, he definitely needs to put a complete season together. But I thought he was pretty impressive. What else? Oh, yeah, and I think that there was the Lions actually could have won this game. There was a terrible roughing the passer, maybe the worst of the year. They sacked Kirk Cousins on the goal line. Actually, further back in the goal line, but the Vikings were on the goal line. It was fourth down, too. The Vikings ended up scoring a touchdown after that. So that was a very bad call. I have no idea why they called it. There wasn't much on the line in this game. So I guess that if there was, it would have been really bad. But it was really bad. So I don't know. Not much on that game, though. Not much on the line there.
I mean, I was concerned for the Vikings there. I was very concerned for a couple minutes. You can't go out like that.
What do you mean?
Like, you can't end a season on a loss to the Lions.
Oh, true. But they could have possibly – I don't know what pick they would have ended up if I don't know off the top of my head right now, if they lost. But I know they could have possibly ended up with the ninth pick, and it's going to be quite the difference of what they get now. So ninth pick does look pretty good. So they're going to be they were at the 13th pick, and they made themselves worse in terms of the pick. So that's not good, but yeah, whatever, I guess.
That call, though, like you said, that was – that has to be one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Real bad. Next game, Jets-Patriots. Not much on the line in this game. The Patriots won 28-14. They started off instantly with a score, so I was very confident. The Patriots, and then they completely shut it down, and then the Jets were actually rolling. Darnold was rolling, and they got up 14-7. Then a trick play to Cam Newton for a touchdown, I believe it was, if I remember. I know it was a trick play, a pass to Cam Newton. That got things rolling on top of Sam Darnold seeing ghosts sometimes, but all the time against the Patriots. That turned it around. Patriots win 28-14. Really, we don't really need takeaways here. Well, I guess Darnold. I mean, they have to move on from Darnold, right? I mean, not move on, but they have to find somebody else, right? Are we all on board with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
in agreement.
Some people were starting to get on the Darnold train again, and it's just some people with their quarterbacks sometimes, they just get, I don't know, they just want to insist on them or something. I don't even, for the Jets, I don't even know if it's Jets fans, actually. I see a lot of, like, other fans, like, just believe in Darnold, maybe because they were just high on him before the draft, during the draft, I don't know. But it was rumored this morning that the Jets are, this is like a weird rumor, and it was legit, like, it's legit news. From Schefter Rapport, whatever the Schefter Rapporty, we're going to mix them together. Mm. So both of them, maybe. That the Jets are going to make a big trade, it said, specifically trade this offseason. That's kind of weird, and like to know that at this time. It's like weird that they know they're going to do it. Like, how is that in play? It almost sounded like it was in place, which can't be. So I don't know if that means they're going to trade Darnold. I don't know if that means they're going to trade out of the second overall pick. I don't know how they would know, especially the draft one. I don't know how they would know they were going to do that already. Like, they're going to accept any offer. Like, teams don't know where their picks are at yet. Well, now maybe they do, most of them. Are they going to trade for a Matt Stafford, Carson Wentz? The Carson Wentz news came out today that he wants to be traded, but how do they know? You know, they know they're going to do it. Does that quarterback really want to play for the Jets? Are you hurting yourself? I don't know. It's a little confusing.
They're going to use their picks to trade for Stafford, and then that's going to be what they do.
That's a bad decision. It's a bad decision. Stafford's
bad
good,
decision.
But he's not, like, you're not going to win anything, you know, with your current team and Stafford. Like, you're going to be better. You're not going to go from the goal to the Super Bowl. You're not going to go from the second overall pick to Super Bowl. Like, it wouldn't make any sense, but I could see it, something like that. But as a football fan, I love moves. I like off-season moves. And that and the draft, probably my favorite time of the year, like when those things happen. So it's kind of like good news for me, but it's like weird. Like, it's weird news that, like, we know they're going to make this big move. So I'm very curious to see what it is. But the Patriots end off with a win. We can move on to the next game, which was Cowboys and the Giants. So this one was a pretty big one. Giants win 23-19. The Giants start off really, really well. Then there was a fumble. So that kind of early on, that kind of killed the momentum. Felt like the Giants were going to roll. The Giants started to get back up, though. Then they were kind of rolling. It felt like they were going to win the game easy. And then they kind of shut down, and Daniel Jones wasn't playing too well. And then the Giants were kind of back and forth. Like we've seen during the year, like, should we just go conservative because we don't want Daniel Jones to turn it over? And then but then when he does, you know, sometimes they didn't do that, and it ended up being a tipped interception at one point. So, yeah, and then the Cowboys are coming back. They have a shot on the last drive of the game. And CeeDee Lamb drops the ball. That was crucial. He might have scored on that. Probably not, but it probably would have got to the 1 or 2 yard line. And then Dalton, bad move, throws it up for grabs in the end zone, interception. And it was pretty much over. It felt like at that point. And Jalen Hurts just threw an interception, 7-0 Washington. They got the ball, and that actually has to do with this game, because if Washington wins, if they continue to hang on to the lead here, they're going to go in. This game won't even matter, the Cowboys-Giants, that is. But, Giants get the ball back to run the clock. Gallman gets a first down, but fumbles the ball. He falls back on it. That was the right call in the end. I'm not sure how the refs saw that one, like, live. They kind of changed their call, too, but they got it right. Leonard Williams was all over the place in this game for the Giants, their defensive lineman. He had a really good season. He had a really good season. Started off very good for the Jets, then slowed up. They traded him. The Giants ended up getting him. He wasn't doing too much, and now he really broke loose again this year. Monster game for him. Giants are in with a Washington loss. Not looking good at this moment.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you see Dalton gets just stomped on?
Which play was that? Was on the last play?
I think he was like sliding, and one of the guys on defense came up from behind, and like the left hand, like, that was bracing his slide, somebody just stepped on it, and then it was just gushing blood the whole, like, he put a glove on, and you can just see blood through it. It was a little Curt Schilling move right there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did see it. They showed, they zoomed in on his glove. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little Curt Schilling.
My takeaway from this game is, how do the Cowboys just not, like, try and feed Zeke? I don't know. He had 14
Zeke's
carries.
Bad.
No, I understand that, but you kind of have to know going into next year if he is for sure bad or for sure, you know, who you think he is. Like, you can't go into this game with 14 rushes and Dalton out rushes your star running back. You can't.
Dalton
do that.
Was running on him pretty well. Like, I was like, I think I tweeted at one point, is this, are they going against Lamar Jackson or Andy Dalton? Like, he was getting loose. But yeah, I think the problem was with Zeke was they were coming from behind. So they didn't want to run too much clock, I'm assuming. But who knows there. Yeah, Dalton was sacked. Even though he escaped a lot of sacks and ran for a good amount of yards, he was sacked 6 times. I didn't see the final stats. Leonard Williams, he had 3 sacks. He had a monster game, but it was more of his pressure, his presence. He had a ridiculous game. That was Top of my head right now, I'm probably forgetting somebody, but that might be the defensive player of the week performance right there. It has to be. But yeah, the Giants are in if the Eagles can pull it off. But the Eagles sitting a lot of guys here in this game, and it's not looking good early. So it's tough. That's tough. Falcons. The difference between the Giants getting in and not getting in is pretty big in terms of the draft selection, though. So maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. Falcons, Bucks. The Bucks were playing for the 5 seed, and it's a good thing they won because the Rams actually won, and the Bucks would end up at the 6 seed. But I don't know if it really mattered. Oh yeah, playing Washington or New York is pretty. The Giants is a pretty good deal, I guess. But Buccaneers played the Falcons 2 weeks ago, and they started off really slow. They had to come back, and all of a sudden they had this burst of offense, like crazy offense. Finally, what we were waiting for, and they came back and won. And they had a crazy amount of offense against the Lions. Yeah, it was the Lions, but still, last week. And now they play the Falcons again, and they get a crazy amount of offense again. They score 44 points, 44 to 27. But this time it was kind of backwards. They were letting the Falcons come back a little, opposite of last time the Buccaneers came back in the Falcons. But I'm still impressed with the Buccaneers. Mike Evans is hurt. I thought it was going to be much worse. They're saying it's nothing for sure yet, but they're saying it's not as serious as they thought, but that doesn't mean he probably could be out for next week. We're going to see. I don't want to make any assumptions, I guess, but that's what was reported. But still, this offense is feeling it. The Falcons have been locked down in a lot of good offenses. They haven't really been winning, but they've been locked down and shutting down Mahomes and shutting down some really good quarterbacks. I think I was talking about last week, the only quarterbacks to play well on the Falcons were Russell Wilson and Dak, and those were like the first two games of the year. Nick Foles and Tom Brady, so pretty much all those but Dak Prescott are Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks. So other than that, the Falcons shut down like a lot of good offense, a lot of good quarterbacks. So the Buccaneers have been pretty impressive. Antonio Brown getting going, Tom Brady's slinging it, dropping some dimes to Godwin, we saw one. The Falcons' problems are on offense, the lack of the running game, even though Gurley started the season off really good. And Matt Ryan just seems slower. He seems off. He just seems really off. It's just it's really time to start looking for the future there. But
I think they do.
Yeah, that's a good question. What pick do they have right now? The Bengals lost, right? I think the Falcons have the 5th pick. The Falcons, the 4th pick?
Definitely get a quarterback.
5th pick. Yeah, I think the top five is top of my head. Yeah, the top five is Jags, Jets, Dolphins Jets, from the Texans, Bengals, Falcons. If I'm correct, that'd be the top five. So yeah, they have a shot. I think they should. I think you don't want to just take one. But you're sitting at five. Pretty solid shot to get better for the future. So yeah, but the Bucks are rolling. I'm excited for the NFC playoffs because I think it's kind of wide open. There's a lot of teams that can compete and make it, and the Bucks are one of them.
They released the schedule in terms of when teams are playing.
Now I know the times of the games, but I don't know who's playing at what time slot yet. I think they'll announce at halftime during the Sunday night game. 10-0 Washington, by the way. But yeah, the Falcons will look to retool or rebuild, question mark. Buccaneers getting hot at the right time. Packers, Bears, the final was 35-16. I'll let the Bears guys take it away. You saw every snap of the game.
That'd be my dog.
Was that old Yeller?
It was. Yeah, the Bears, I'm just,
Hey, they're
my
in,
only
man.
My only takeaway is I hope Roquan's good to go for next week. That's my hope.
I was really scared about Montgomery early and Mooney. Mooney was feeling it, and he got hurt.
Mooney got lit up. Absolutely lit up.
Montgomery got hurt, and he looked like he was in some pain, but then he came back in. That was a scary situation. So that was good news. But hopefully Mooney, Roquan, like you said, hopefully those guys are – Mooney was looking really good. So that's some, I guess, the positive takeaways from the Bears there.
I feel the only like positive takeaway that I have is that we're big Rams guys. But are we really big Rams guys? Do we
big
want
Leonard
to be
Floyd
here in the
guys.
Playoffs?
Yeah, do you want to be?
Yeah, I don't think we want to be. That's
I think
problem.
If you won that game, you definitely would want to be, but losing that game.
Yeah, I wanted to earn it. I wanted to earn it.
Yeah.
But I will say that as far as matching up versus would it have been Saints versus we're playing the Saints, but who would we have played if we would have won? Would it have been the Packers?
Yeah.
We'll go with it. I would rather play the Saints.
No.
First round.
No. They would have played the Saints either way. They would have played the Saints either way. If the Bears won in
we're
the
exactly
Cardinals,
where we wanted to be.
Yeah, if the Bears won and the Cardinals won, then they would have played the Seahawks. Ooh. I think they match up better. The Seahawks are the toughest team. They're going to be the toughest team to predict for the playoffs. We'll talk about them in a little bit. So it depends on which Seahawks would have showed up, but I'm going to say they probably rather play the Saints. I don't know though. With the Saints, we probably should save it for. We'll talk about matchups soon here. It should be a good game between the Saints, but yeah, Rodgers had some dimes in this game. Probably should have another touchdown. Valdez Scantling dropping one, but then he had some. He had a few dropped interceptions, actually. That second half, even though the Packers scored 35 points, I thought most of the second half the Bears were doing a pretty decent job on defense, I thought.
They were definitely
I think that the we need to, like, get on a milk carton. We got to get, like, an Eddie Jackson picture, and just, like, because he has been MIA in terms of making the big plays. I don't know what happened. Drops an easy pick. That pick was in his paws. Just absolutely drops it. I don't understand. And it definitely, there's a lot that has to do with it. It's like all the corners are banged up. Buster's hurt. Jalen Johnson's hurt. I mean, the pass rush can't get anything. And it's just that's the most frustrating thing to watch, I guess, is when you know it, like a front seven or like a defensive line is good and you just like, they just can't get to them.
Yep.
I'm done with the Bears.
You're done with them.
Until the playoff matchup.
I need a morning.
We're going to talk about them, though, when we start talking matchups.
Talking matchups soon. The Packers get the 1 seed. The Bears get the 7 seed. Two teams in the playoffs there. Raiders and Broncos. Raiders win 32-31. Kind of a back-and-forth game. Just talking about the end real quick because the game didn't matter a whole bunch, or it didn't matter at all, actually. Well, first off, John Gruden was looking extra fat in that little hoodie shirt he was wearing. He shouldn't wear that ever again. It comes down to the end. Josh Jacobs scores, and they go for two, go for the win. I like that, and they get it. But I didn't like going empty set because Jacobs just ran it in from like the 1 or 2 yard line, and then you know you're going for the 2-point conversion, and you don't have Josh Jacobs in the backfield, so it pretty much tells the Broncos, hey, we're passing the ball, all right, and we're probably going to Waller. Okay, and Waller got it. He almost dropped it, all right? And, yeah, Raiders win. But then the Broncos get a shot. And there's a bad call. You ever have the moments where you want to throw a flag on the refs? I'm not talking like bad. Like, there's people who probably want to do it in bad calls, you know, just normal bad calls. But, like, situation, I just want to throw a flag on the ref because the Broncos catch the ball downfield and – it looked like he was down, but then the ball came out, and the Raiders are trying to get the ball. Broncos are trying to get on the ball to run a play or spike it, whatever. Fangio wasted a timeout, by the way, when the Raiders had a ball. That wasn't good. But then the refs just huddle up, and they call delay of game on the defense because they were taking the ball. But if you notice, the whistle never blew until the Raiders had the ball. So that's kind of the moment where I'm going to throw the flag on the refs. Like, you threw a flag on the Raiders because of your mistake, like, it just makes no sense. And just, it didn't even matter, but it still gets to me, you know? So the Raiders, and then the Broncos, who attempted a 70-yard field goal in this game, got blocked. They attempt a 60-yarder, which for some reason I felt like he was going to make it. It got blocked. So two blocked field goals for the Raiders were pretty big, even though I didn't expect them to make the 70-yarder. So the Raiders hang on to win. Moving on. Jags and Colts, a must-win game for the Colts. If they would have lost, then the Dolphins would end up being in, even though they laid a stinker today. Colts just dominating from the start, just gigantic holes, like insane holes. Taylor's getting loose. Naheem Hines catching the ball, getting loose. Yeah, they're up. The giraffe isn't looking too good. And the Colts kind of shut down. You know, Frank Reich, a good offensive mind, but kind of just shuts down when they got leads. And that's kind of showed up. And Phillip Rivers throwing interception on a deep ball. It was kind of just reminding me of last week against the Steelers. And I thought the Jags were going to come back and win. And the Colts finished the job, though, win 28-14. So the Colts are going to the playoffs. And I don't have any – I don't mean to knock the Dolphins. They had an impressive season, way better than I expected. They got a bright future, young talent. They got the 3rd overall pick. They got their own pick in the first round, so that was great. I love Brian Flores. So what I'm about to say, I'm not really trying to come after him, I promise, but the Colts being in, I think the right teams are in. You know, I think if the Colts, even with the Colts would have lost to the Jags, I guess you could have said that they didn't deserve it. But I still feel like the right teams are in. I think these are the seven best teams in the AFC. So, you know, a little happy, you know, just as a football fan in that aspect. But the Dolphins, you know, again, they're a good team, better than expected, good defense. Some things to figure out there going forward. But yeah. You guys got anything
no,
on that?
No, I got nothing.
You got nothing? Moving on, the Titans and the Texans, a wild game. I said all week this is going to be a scary one. The Titans are going to make it interesting. And I thought I was wrong on that because the Titans were really dominating this game. Derrick Henry was running wild. I mean, everyone runs wild in the Texans, but Derrick Henry is dominant, gets over 2,000 rushing yards. He had over 2,000 when they were losing the game at one point. But, yeah, they were dominating this game, and all of a sudden I let the Texans come back. Later in the game, they had a fourth down that they should not have went for. They should have punted, and Tannehill gets sacked. And that changes the game. The Texans go and score. Then the Titans go and they score, and then they get called back for holding. And I wish there was a stat on this. How many touchdowns were called back from penalties this year in the NFL? I think we had to hit a record. I mean, I watch an insane amount of football, you know, across the NFL. It had to be the record. How many times a touchdown was taken away from a penalty? Insane. But I figured, yeah, it was probably holding, and then I see the replay, and it was just a dominant, like, pancake block, not even the slightest hold, and they called it back. So that was weird because, you know, there's holding on every play, and they kind of pick and choose when they call it. And when they call it, it usually is holding, so it's not super sketchy. But when they pick and choose, it is a little bit, but this one was very strange. The Titans score again. They score again. Tannehill reaches across, scores. They call a touchdown as a flag. You can see Tannehill goes in and asks the ref, like, what the call is, and he celebrates and saying it's on the Texans, and he goes to the sideline. Then the refs have a big huddle, and apparently they changed the lineup in the neutral zone to a legal shit, or I don't know what it was, something weird on the Titans, so that was odd. Take that touchdown away. Tannehill almost throws a pick then. It's very scary. Bad decision to throw it, but then he runs it in. He had a couple really good reads on read options, ran it in. The Texans go down. They're going to go score, but they go down, and the Titans had a big sack on that, so they've barely been able to get sacks all year. They get a sack that was huge, absolutely huge. Ends up forcing a field goal. I'm thinking overtime, and Tannehill throws an absolute rocket to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's speed and hands help as well, but that was a rocket ball from Tannehill. And then the backup kicker, because Kostowski's on the COVID list, makes it, but there was an icing of the kicker, doesn't count, then doinks it in, and it goes in. If it was Parkey, who was on the Titans last year, it would have been a doink and out, so good thing they didn't have Parkey. Titans win, they win the AFC South, that's what I got.
Well, you didn't mention Derrick Henry.
I didn't mention Derrick Henry?
You didn't mention the 2,000 yard.
He dabbled in Derrick Henry. You know, he dabbled in it.
I mentioned
it.
Yeah, check the tape, man. I mentioned it.
All right, I'll check the tape on that one.
Do you think Virtual really was trying to get him that? I mean, obviously they needed to win the game, but, like, do you think they were like, all right, well, we want to win the game, but we also want to get Derrick Henry's 2,000 yards?
No.
34 carries, yeah, Texans D.
Yeah, so it's the Texans run defense. You have to –
it's terrible.
If you pass three downs, like 1, 2, 3, and pass, like, you can't. You can't do it. You can't. I mean, you can, but you can't. You probably can get away with it, but it's one of those situations where the play caller is probably thinking, Arthur Smith's probably thinking, yeah, we're down, maybe we got to pass, but if I call pass on, like, all these downs and don't give the ball to our best player and we fail, it's going to look really bad. So maybe one of those situations.
Very
true.
Possible, but I can see that. I guess they did pass. They had 27 attempts.
Yeah, I mean,
Tannehill, but which is a good amount. But
Titans defense. I mean, the Texans defense is. I mean, it's terrible. But it doesn't even matter. The Titans defense, is that the worst defense in the playoffs? It's got to be. I'm gonna run through the teams here. It's got to be. It's bad. It was really good last year too. Like, it was so good down the stretch last year. Like, I don't know. Except when they played the Chiefs, but that's the Chiefs last year. Yeah, so I'm a little scared about the Titans defense, but they're in the playoffs. Their offense is It's a very good offense. Very good offense. Talk about the matchup soon again. Chargers, Chiefs. Justin Herbert ends the season on a high note there, battling Justin Jefferson. Justin Herbert battle. I don't know which Justin I'm saying right now. Herbert battling Jefferson for the rookie of the year. And he's giving him a good battle there. So this game started with a Henny quick touchdown. They got Pringle going. And then they scored, I think, the first two times they touched the ball. And I already saw the tweets coming in that, oh, Patrick Mahomes not even that good. It's just the Chiefs' offense. That didn't work out. 38-21, Chargers win. Yeah, not much on the line of this game, so I don't have a whole bunch of takeaways. Let me see. I didn't get the chance to see the kid's stat line. 302 yards, 3 touchdowns for the kid, Justin Herbert. He also had a rushing touchdown, so 4 total touchdowns. Offensive rookie of the year. Who is it? Justin Herbert, Justin Jefferson. What are you guys thinking?
I think it's going Justin Herbert, but I want it to be Justin Jefferson.
I would agree with Dan there.
I think we gotta get a quarterback in there, or sorry, wide receiver in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's. I mean, with Jefferson breaking the record, but Herbert was so damn impressive this year too. It's a toss up one. I feel like there's like two different awards, like the actual award, like the Pepsi Rookie of the Year, isn't that like two different or something like that? I don't know. Maybe one will get one will get the other. I don't know how they do that these days, but. Yeah, we'll have our awards next week. I'll have a video of my awards and fan-voted awards. We were talking about, I don't know when we're going to do it. We were talking about, remember we were going to do, like, with all of us, like, normal awards, but then we're going to make up, like, a bunch of Goat House awards.
Yeah. I'm in.
Danny Provolone, Man of the Year. Who's going to take it? I don't know. The Vikings got to win some kind of award for their they actually beat it, but they had one more sack as a team this year than Jared Allen did the 2011 season. So Jared Allen had one less sack than the entire team this year. And the Vikings leader in sacks this year was Yannick Ngakoue, who was only on the team for 6 weeks. He led the team with 5 sacks. So I think the Vikings deserve some award for that one. I don't know what that award is, but they deserve one. Let me tell you, they earned it.
I think Zim is
not getting to the quarterback award.
The what?
Not getting to the quarterback award.
Something along those lines. What'd you say, Junior?
Think Zim is out the door?
No, they're gonna blame it on the guys missing, which there was quite a bit of guys missing for the defense. But he has been one of the best defensive minds. But you think he would get the job done? Maybe not down the stretch. I mean, they were playing with practice squads guys down the stretch, but you know, some other games earlier in the year, they think they could have got the job done. So they're not going to fire anybody. They're not going to fire anybody. But next year they'll have Danielle Hunter back. They'll have Michael Pierce back. They will have Eric Kendricks missed last quite a few games to kind of get them out of the playoffs. Lost some games during that time. Anthony Barr missed the whole season pretty much. So they'll get a little better here. But it's still not going to be the same Vikings defense as it used to be. But Danielle Hunter, they're really missing. But yeah, Chargers
that's former. Win. That's former Jets linebacker Anthony Barr.
Yeah. Saints Panthers. Saints take care of business. They're without all their running backs. Taysom Hill fills in pretty well. Felt like he was more of the running back. Jets have officially fired Adam Gase.
Oh, stop it!
Officially parted ways with Adam Gase. Official.
That's incredible.
It is official. I want to see these Taysom Hill rushing stats here. 7 for 41. Ty Montgomery, I didn't even realize it. I didn't see a whole bunch of this game. Ty Montgomery ran 18 for 105.
Whoa.
I was hoping to see more of my guy Tony Jones Jr. He ran 3 for 13, though. It's a good average. Good average, 4.3. Saints dominant in this performance, as they should be. They're the 2 seed. My takeaway is Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know what happened to him. He was looking good in the past, but he was looking really good to start the year. And a pretty disastrous stretch of the season. Like, he declined every step of the way. Pretty disappointing. Pretty disappointing there. So the Panthers, even though they gave him a big contract, they will continue to search for their future quarterback, you would have to imagine.
Think so? He's got a huge contract.
Yeah, but you got to get back. I mean, he did get hurt at some point, and it felt like it was after that when he started. It actually was, like, right. That's, you know, so that could have been what it was. But you can't just blame it all on that. He's just not playing well, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I want to see what the Jags do in terms of their head coaching situation, because, like, they fire Marone, and then it's just like, we got the first overall pick, so whoever we bring in is going to have Trevor Lawrence. That's a nice little setup there.
It's a nice gig. It's a nice gig.
Yeah, it's a nice gig. Even the Jets gig, it might be nice. You got some good draft position.
Depends on what that trade they have set up, apparently, is. I don't know.
Right, that's why you get out the GM before whatever that is happens, because you know it's going to be bad.
Yep. Seahawks.
You think it's like Frank Gore for a first rounder?
Something along those lines. I had to think about what you said for a second there. I had to think about if it was a legit trade. Seahawks and the 49ers. Seahawks pull it off 26-23. A bit of a comeback. They had 6 points for, it felt like, forever in this game. And the Niners were kind of pulling away. They were actually able to move the ball. And as soon as the Niners took like a 2-score lead, the Seahawks kind of flipped the switch to turn it on. They went and won the game pretty much when they had to score. Kind of think the same thing as the Rams game last week, like a lack of offense. Their defense basically won the game. But when they absolutely had to score, they went out and scored. So it felt like kind of the same thing here, even though they weren't playing for anywhere near as much as they were last week playing for the NFC West Championship, winning that. This week they're pretty much locked in the 3 seed. I mean, there were scenarios that didn't happen, you know, but that they could have got a better seed. Yeah, so good comeback. They're going in with some momentum. I definitely want to talk about, well, I guess what we're about. We're about at that point of the podcast video where we talk about the matchups, but I want to save what I want to say about the Seahawks for the matchups we talk about. But let's then the Cardinals. You guys are huge Rams guys. Rams beat the Cardinals. John Walford basically beat Shrevler, but Kyler Murray did come back in 18-7. The pick six was the turning point in this game. And a lot of people thought it was offsides live. I did think it was offsides. I think Shrevler thought he had a free play there too, so that's why he whipped it there. So that's a tough blow. And that pick six, they only scored 7 points at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they need to score more points and get the job done. It's unfortunate Murray got hurt. I thought he was going to come back earlier because he was warming up in the second quarter. Yeah, you do got to score more points, but yeah, that was a crucial moment in the game there. And then the Rams get the job done. I see people saying Walford's better than Goff. It's kind of ridiculous. The playbook was a little limited with Walford, and also Goff threw for 350 yards and beat the Cardinals, scoring 38 points last time they played them. So there's really not too much logic behind it. But the Rams get the win. They're in the playoffs. Yeah. You guys huge Rams guys, or are you guys not huge Rams? Maybe you didn't want to. We already talked about that. Maybe you didn't want to be in.
No, I think I'm a Rams guy because I don't think Goff is – I mean, I guess you're thinking about who you want to play in the playoffs with, like, Goff hurt. But now Kyler was hurt too, so it doesn't – I don't know. To me, it wouldn't matter.
While I wasn't watching, the Eagles scored. It's 10-7 Washington.
Ooh.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to see the I personally wanted to see the Cardinals. I mean, obviously there were some implications with the Bears, and I wanted them to lose, but I wanted to see Kyler in the playoffs. I wanted to see kind of how that would look. But, did he have a hamstring issue? I know he had an ankle, right? Then he looked like he was like holding his hamstring or something.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was in-game there.
Like holding his butt cheek.
Is he a butt cheek problem?
I think he
pulled his butt cheek or something.
Time to rest up, check up for now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the matchups. Let's see something here. So hold on. I'm getting alerts at right now. Alvin Kamara has a shot to play in the playoff game because it is supposed to be Sunday. Saints Bears will be on Sunday. I expected them to do that since it wasn't set yet. So it will be the two. The Packers get the 1 seed in the NFC. The Saints will play the Bears 2-7. We're gonna have our picks video up early in the week, so we don't need to make picks here. But what I'm look, you know, what stands out to me is the last time these two teams played, they went to overtime, and the Bears were, you know, playing pretty bad football at that time. They're playing much better football now, so that could mean the Bears have a pretty good shot there. So that's a good argument for the Bears. The Saints, I like their defense against Trubisky. You know, I think The Saints were jumping routes all day today. You know, they dropped a couple of interceptions. Saints were jumping routes against the Panthers, though. You know, those guys love to attack the ball, you know, the underneath passes, the underneath throws. And it seems like, you know, the Packers could have done that a couple of times today against Trubisky. They were kind of close to doing it. So that, you know, that could be the strength, I guess, for the Saints versus the Bears. But, yeah, I don't know what either team's identity is right now. That's why they're a little confusing going into the playoffs. Because the Saints, you know, the first portion of the year, they were more of a offensive team. The defense was struggling. In the middle of the year, the offense was struggling, and the defense was just locked down, like the best in football. And then Breeze came back, and they were starting to score a lot more points, but they were giving up a lot more points, except for this week against the Panthers. But they gave up a ton to the Vikings and the Chiefs, but those are two very good offenses, I suppose. So I don't know, you know, can we trust in the Saints in the playoffs? What they've done in the past in the playoffs been disappointing, to say the least. What are they going to show up at the same time? Offense, defense, what's more of their identity? Looking at the Bears, defense is one of the best in football going into the year, and then for the first portion of the season, and then they were kind of had to hold up for most season, I should say. They were kind of had to hold up their offense, carry the offense, and now the offense is getting better, and the defense is giving up more yards, more points. I know they had some guys in and out, but yeah, I guess it's tough to figure out what the identity is of these teams going into this game. So it's definitely one I'm looking forward to.
And take it away, man.
As far as matchups are concerned, I think I mentioned before I like the Saints matchup. Now that I'm thinking about it, especially if Roquan's out, it makes me nervous on those underneath routes, because we saw like the alternative with Josh Woods in there trying to keep up with wide receivers. It just did not look good, and you can't tell how you know, a missing Roquan Smith can affect Bears defense, even though the Bears defense in the past couple weeks has been pretty rough. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still upset with the Bears right now. Still upset.
Yeah, anything could happen. Anything could happen in the playoffs.
Anything could happen. That's
the
true.
Saints usually do lay stinkers in the playoffs, so I don't know. Anything That's could good. Happen. That is. It's a big game. That might be a good game, actually. 3 seed Seahawks playing the 6 seed, the Rams. What stands out about this one? McVay always just beat the Seahawks. It seemed like how it always went, and that's really not a reason to pick the Rams if you were going to pick them. And the last time they played was just last week. The Seahawks won. The Rams moved the ball a little better than the Seahawks did, but then the Seahawks defense clutched up in the end zone. So that game actually could have went either way. Based on most of that game, it almost felt like the Rams could have won that game. Should have, actually. You know, I kind of felt that way at one point, not very end. But so that actually could be a pretty good game. But the Seahawks may have figured something out, you know, playing against McVay, playing against Goff. They made him look a little sloppy. He might have figured something out. But then you got Will Goff even play. You know, broke his thumb, had surgery, you know, broke his thumb against the Seahawks. Will he be back? Is a shot that he could somehow. If he's back, is he full strength? If it's Wolford, I don't know if we think he will win. Yeah, but my problem with the Seahawks, another team, what's their identity? But I talked about during the Niners game. I was gonna circle back to it. In the Niners game, when they were like when they had 6 points and they weren't doing much, I'm thinking like, is this offense really like struggling that much, or are they trying to like save stuff for the playoffs? Because I've seen them do that before, and they turn it on in playoff time. You know, Russ in playoff time. And I was kind of thinking. And then the Niners continue to extend their lead. I'm like, God, the Seahawks offense might be bad now. But then all of a sudden, when they got down 2 scores, this different offense came alive, and they went and scored. So now I'm starting to think maybe they weren't going all out. I mean, they're trying, but are they calling plays or the game plan like they are in the playoffs to try to save stuff, to try to hide stuff, hide tape? It's a possibility. Defense played great down the stretch. The offense played poorly. But there's a scenario where I could see that it kind of flips back to normal, where their defense doesn't play. It's not going to be god-awful like it was early in the year, but I can see it kind of going nowhere near as good as it's been playing, but I can see the offense playing a lot better. But in the Seahawks, it depends on who's that quarterback for the Rams. I think Seahawks-Rams should be a pretty good matchup as well.
I like it. That's a nice little there's some history there. That's why I like that matchup.
Yeah, if you're the Rams, you got to be a little excited about it. But something about the Seahawks in the playoffs—you just that's the team that you don't want to cross.
Yeah, it's tough to bet against the Seahawks.
And then the 4-5 again. Currently, I'm watching Washington versus Philadelphia. Washington's up 10-7. It's 6 minutes left in the second. Eagles kind of making a push right now. But either way, the Buccaneers are gonna play. You know, it actually could be a good matchup because they're going to play a good defensive team, whether it's Washington or New York or the New York Football Giants, the football team of the Football Giants. And the Buccaneers have struggled this year when they play good defenses. They played the Giants earlier in the year, and the game came down to the last second where the Giants could have won the game. So I do think the Bucs' offense is better since then. So, you know, spoiler, I like their chances. But it is interesting. Did the Buccaneers actually get better? Can they overcome playing good defenses? Because I feel like the entire team is better if Tom Brady is on his game. So if they have Tom Brady off his game, that's where it's a little scary. Will Mike Evans play is the other situation. So I was actually thinking they would probably rather play Washington, but the Bucs, that is, because they struggled with the Giants last time. But I'm kind of changing my mind on that. I think they would rather play the Giants, because I just don't. Daniel Jones, will he out-duel Tom Brady and take care of the ball? I just don't really think so. So, but right now it's looking like Washington so far.
Wait, who's Washington playing?
Washington.
If they
Washington or the Giants playing the Buccaneers.
Ooh.
It's going to be in the NFC East house.
Well, it's a goat house guarantee.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I know about that, man.
Washington defense is nice. It is so nice.
It's nice.
We're heating up.
Heating up. Let's see the AFC. We got the two seed. The Chiefs got the bye. They're the one seed. The two seed, the Bills, play the Colts, the seven seed. Yeah, interesting matchup because the Colts got a little more defense. And the Bills maybe have seen recently. I guess you can debate that with the Steelers. Steelers were beat up, though. And so can they create turnovers? See, in the past, Josh Allen, he's been money. He's been on fire, MVP-alike. Not saying he's going to win it, or that would be my pick. I can make a case for it. But, you know, those games sometimes come up, not recently, but where he turns the ball over a bit. If the Colts can force that, they can win the game. But I don't know if I really like the matchup for the Colts because I think that, you know, can they keep up with the Bills? The Bills have been creating turnovers on defense, and Phillip Rivers has been turning the ball over. But if the Colts come out, establish a run, manage time of possession, that'll throw off the Bills. The Bills do struggle to run the ball a bit. So, yeah, the Bills are pretty hot right now, though.
I think they're the hottest team in the league right now. You don't want to see them.
Got to be the hottest team in the league. Steelers-Browns, so rematch from this week. Like I mentioned, Steelers didn't really show much resting their stars, so that was kind of good. In their home this time around, maybe they wanted the Browns again. You know, when they went full go against each other earlier in the year, the Steelers whomped them pretty good. The Steelers were also playing better ball then. The Browns were playing better ball as of late compared to then. And Jalen Hurts just ran in a touchdown, so the Eagles have taken the lead. Wow. And I did switch my pick to Washington, so that's something.
That's good.
What was I saying? Yeah, Steelers, Browns. Yeah, I do.
So they wanted them again.
I think the Browns might have saved some stuff too, though. I don't think Stefanski called his actual game today. I think that's how I'm thinking. I don't think he did against the Jets either. But yeah, should be a pretty good game, rival game in the playoffs. Looking forward to it. Anybody got anything? You know, I guess I do worry about, you know, which Big Ben's going to show up, and can the Steelers establish the run, something they have not been able to do. The Browns need to establish the run to win the big games. They have a shot to do that early. We'll see if they can do it. And then we got Titans-Ravens 4-5. They played each other in the playoffs last year. The Titans pulled the upset. They had a really good game plan for Lamar Jackson. Titans defense was pretty damn good then, though. Now it's not. They played each other earlier in the year, midseason, maybe a little after midseason, and it was kind of a back-and-forth game. Then Derrick Henry happened. He went bonkers and ended the game there with a touchdown run, and the Ravens really struggled to tackle Derrick Henry. I think the Titans were kind of in a little bit of a cold spot there. But they were still felt like they were still good. The Ravens were much better than they were then. I think both teams are better than they were in that particular week. So I'm looking forward to it. It's third time to charm for the Ravens to win The Titans defense isn't that good, but they're not going to worry too much about the pass. So the Titans defense seems to be much better when they kind of they game plan correctly. They focus on one thing, and the Ravens are a team you can focus on one thing. You know, stopping the run, stopping Lamar Jackson. But that doesn't mean you're going to actually stop him. You know, easier said than done situation. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to that game, very much. That's probably
the Titans defense has to figure it out.
Yeah, that's probably the game I'm looking forward to most in the first round. Let's see.
The Bears-Saints?
Bears-Saints, Seahawks, Rams, Bucks, somebody. Titans. I think Titans-Ravens is the best game. I think that's easily the best game, in my opinion. Worst defense in the playoffs, I was trying to think before. It might be the Titans or Browns, probably. I don't really trust the Browns defense a whole bunch. Best defense in the playoffs is the Rams. I think that's pretty wild.
What if Washington gets in?
Succeed. I still like the Rams better. I think there's a big difference in the secondary between those two teams. The Rams is much better, but I mean, you can argue Washington. That front seven's ridiculous. Rams is good too, though. I guess it depends on matchup. A lot of good offensive teams: Chiefs, Bills, Titans, Ravens. Browns when they're on, Packers are hot, Buccaneers are hot right now, probably just missed somebody, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the playoffs, first year with seven teams from each conference. It's going to be weird, but it's going to be cool because there's three games instead of two on each day. But yeah, this went on pretty long, 56 minutes, and I got to upload this somehow. Okay, we're going to get it
up. Which one's the Nickelodeon game, though?
The Nickelodeon game, oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, there's definitely a game on Nickelodeon this year in the playoffs.
That's going to be weird.
This is the Bears. I saw Bitcat tweeting something about that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You put on Switch Trubisky.
Trubisky. He's going to have the game of his life, ladies and gentlemen. Will he do it? We'll find out. We'll find out who we're picking in the picks this week. We'll have score predictions. We got at least 10 videos coming out this week. I did the math. Is that math? I don't know. I counted up
the number crunching.
Good. I crunched the numbers on the potential videos, the new playoff coverage videos we got. Cannot wait. Hopefully you can join us. Like, subscribe, do your thing. Follow us on Twitter. That's going to do it. Thanks for listening or watching wherever you are. Goodbye.
Goodbye, yeah.